to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time. It is my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro Podcast booth Stove Crews 3 and 5 in San Miguel Dueñas. I'm going to have the crews introduce themselves, starting with Stuart.
This is Stuart Nice from Santa Clara, California, part of Stove Crew 5.
Completing Stove Crew 5, Dave Reese from Peoria, Illinois.
Beginning Stove Crew 3, Matthew Spohr from Washington, Illinois.
And completing Stove Crew 3 is Kim Nallen from San Jose, California.
Lady and gentlemen, welcome. Great pod, people. Yes. Great to have you back. Matthew, great to have you for the first time here. Mm-hmm. We're slowly getting all of your family members.
Need Paul. Has he been here before?
No. We haven't had a Paul Spore yet.
Just him. He's the last one. And Dad, I guess, too. But yeah.
It's great. Your mom has come for 4 or 5 years.
His sixth year will be next week.
And your brother Nathan.
His fifth year will be next week.
Fifth year. Yeah. You've heard about this mission. Yeah. You've worked on this mission because I know your mom puts everybody to work around her.
Definitely. Packing all the bags and VBS crafts, all that stuff.
You had some pretty specific, and I would guess high expectations, since you signed up for 2 weeks the first time you come. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you thought you were going to experience lined up with what you've experienced here for the past few days.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the interesting thing that I've experienced is everything I've seen has been through still pictures. I had never experienced the sounds or the smells or just the general ambiance of Guatemala or any of the houses we've been to. So I think that's the biggest shift that I've noticed, is just coming here and saying, oh, well, these things, they're real. They do move. They aren't just the stagnant pictures that I see. And even though pictures can capture so much motion and emotion and all that stuff, it's completely different being able to see it from 5 different angles and just being in the houses with the people and being too tall for the houses.
Oh, yeah.
Because for those on the podcast who don't know, I'm 6'1", so I'm a little taller than the average Guatemalan, but yeah.
I don't see any marks on your forehead.
No, but Olivia did get a good picture today of me standing next to a roof and it was up to my shoulder. So,
I've wrecked my forehead more than a couple times. Well, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's interesting that like, what do they call that, the movie experience where it's not 4D? Is it 4D where you have the smells and it sprays water on you? And like it's 4D. Is it 4D?
Yeah, 4D.
Okay, so you're having the 4D experience.
Definitely.
even with all the stories and all there's nothing that – it's so hard to describe. Stuart and I were talking about this. It's so hard to describe how loud it is in this country. I know my voice is a little hoarse. A lot of people this is what, day 3?
Day 3.
Have kind of hoarse voices because you're talking so loud all the time because it's loud here. Was that surprising for you?
I don't think. I've thought it's been quiet, actually. I haven't noticed a lot. I mean, I also want to go to school in New York, or I am going to school in New York, so maybe the loudness just doesn't affect me.
But, maybe.
Yeah. And I've lived in China, too, so that.
Oh, you lived in China?
Yeah, I did for a year. But yeah, it's.
Was it loud there?
China? Much louder than here, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's just the buses and the motorcycles and the trucks and then the smells you mentioned.
Yeah,
they don't have the emissions controls like we have.
The emissions, or even the opposite of that, the great food. Like you can't, if you take a picture of fresh tortillas, you don't get the smell or the taste of all that.
Was that surprising to you, the tortillas?
Not surprising, but just like. Made me happy, or like a good thing. It was just,
it delivered on its promise.
Exactly.
Yeah. Fantastic. Dave, you,
you came for several years, and then you came. You didn't come for how long?
About 8 years.
8 years. You didn't come, and then this is your second year back on your second tour.
Yes. So what I notice is, and you mentioned loudness, within the urban areas, it is loud. Maybe it's the construction of the buildings that reverberates the sound, and then it's funneled down the street. So everything is right next to each other. But you don't have to go very far, and then it turns completely rural, where the buildings are made mainly out of corrugated metal. There's a bigger difference, I notice, among the people that we serve, a lot more dirt floors. Within the urban area, the floors seem mainly tiled concrete, and there's no fabric really to speak of within the buildings either. So within a building, sound bounces around.
So to put a finer point on that, the room that we are sitting in right now has three mattresses on the walls, four sets of hanging curtains, and a tablecloth, all to reduce the room reflections, because everything here is hard surfaces and the sound is just bouncing off of everything. And that's another part of the loudness that is, for me, is just, wow, it's loud. And that's something I want to ask you specifically, Dave, because you are a hearing expert. I don't know your official title.
I'm a hearing instrument specialist.
Okay, hearing instrument specialist. And so I don't know if you've had any reflection on the different sounds here in Guatemala than other places, but it's very distinctive. There are definitely sounds here that we don't have in the U.S. And I just find it sometimes fascinating, like that mockingbird at 5 a.m.
Yes.
5 a.m.
Well, that, and also what seems to lack as far as neighborhood types is a suburban or subdivision type. Now, we've seen some gated communities, and that probably is where that is would be located. We, of course, are not serving gated communities, and we are either in, I don't want to call it slums, it's just very urban, and buildings that have been there a long time, and things close together, and streets that are narrow with vehicles barely squeaking by each other, or you're out in the fields. And today, and also yesterday, we were near a coffee plantation and serving, what I assume is the best classification is tenant farmers, where they don't own the property, they don't own the building, but they live there and work for very low wages and with really no prospects of gaining any ground. At first, I was calling them sharecroppers, but I don't think they get a share of it. They're strictly labor. And Stuart, you had talked to that lady the second stove we did yesterday. How did she describe it?
Yeah. Well, they're tenant farmers. She's been living in that house with her husband. He's been working in that field for 33 years.
Wow.
And she said, we are very poor. And my husband has worked in this farm for 33 years.
Wow.
And, it was pretty poor. The only reason it was kind of upgraded was because they'd lived there 33 years. I'm sure if it was only 20, it would have looked more rustic than it was. So a little sad. I mean, she wasn't trying to pull any heartstrings or anything. She was just making a statement. We're poor. This is life.
Right.
It's a little bit intense. And you talk to people and they're just so matter of fact, this is my life. And why we're always reaching for if I can get a little more of this life, that's the American way bigger, better, faster.
Yeah. And I don't know about, it sounds like you've been more in the fields and like where people, I think where we've been is almost been the quote unquote suburban. It's more slum like though, but the people you go down one street and there's corrugated tin on both sides. So it's kind of like that. And then there are doors every so often. And sometimes you go in and it's just one plot of land. Only one family lives there. But I know we went in yesterday mm-hmm. and it was like five or six different houses on one plot of land. And they had a little store in the front and a whole plant nursery in the back. So just mm-hmm. many different levels of, I mean, it's all very poor, but levels of income and I don't know how to exactly mm-hmm. describe it, but yeah.
There were several families living there
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it was like, and where we went for lunch the other day that had a stove, they got a stove put in, but that was one big open like place that was it. And then they had the kitchen and then like one family, another family, another family. So
up in the coffee farm housing area, have you guys both been up there?
No, we haven't.
You guys haven't. No. Were you guys in the area where There's like one roof, but there's a house on the right, house on the left, house on the right, and this hallway that kind of winds for, I don't know, like a quarter mile. It seems it just goes on and on. You're not sure where one house starts and the other house
ends. The first one we did was like that. It was a family complex, basically. So mm-hmm. the grandfather and then his kids each had a home. And then they had some plantation mm-hmm. things on the side. They were doing fairly well for the poverty, but it was a big mm-hmm. place.
But it was just their family.
It was in just this place? Yeah, it was just his family and extended family
down,
grandfather down to the grandkids.
Right.
So, but very happy.
Very happy.
Very mm-hmm. yeah, very well adjusted family. You could tell the grandpa was there with everybody, and he wasn't an old grandpa, like my age grandpa.
Your grandpa.
It's very sweet.
I know one of the first times I experienced a mission trip in India, the thing that was most disturbing to me, and I'm curious to hear all of your reflections on this, was exactly what Stuart just said, is they seemed to be so happy. And that upset me because most Americans that I know aren't all that happy, not as happy as these people, yet physically they have so much more. Their health is so much better. Their opportunities are so much brighter. Yet there's this level of really wasn't happy. I've part of reflection. I really feel is more joy. It was mm-hmm. this joy and disturbed me. Where does this joy come from? Like, what do you have to be joyful about? Because they were very, I don't want to say content, but mm-hmm. they realized this is our station in life. Yeah. This is who we are, and we're not really wanting for more. But
I think that the word is more dissatisfied versus satisfied.
Okay.
Americans were just dissatisfied. We're never satisfied.
Right.
Whereas they're like, we're satisfied.
Like, you know, we're poor. It's just a fact. It's not
right.
Bad. I mean, it is a bad thing, but it's not. It's just truth.
Mm-hmm. So, Kim, was that disconcerting for you in the early years?
It was
years?
Today. No, it
was today.
Yeah. Not. Maybe not that same thing, but the houses that we served had older gentlemen there. Mm-hmm. And I just found myself thinking, you know, was the one guy who was, they were both like amazing, joyful,
very, very joyful.
And you could tell, I'm like, these people probably lived here maybe most of their life. I don't know. There was a woman there was a spouse at the one house, but not at the other. I don't know, you know, who else lives there, but. He was missing most of his teeth, mm-hmm. but had the biggest smile. And I just, honestly, I think for me, I feel this pull inside myself of just what we were talking about. It's like, how can I not be satisfied? It's like, mm-hmm. how can I, you know, go home on Sunday and, you know, not be satisfied with my life when I see these people, you know, and I struggle because, like, I don't want to feel sorry for them. You know, because that's, in a way, does that make sense? Like, I don't want to pity them, mm-hmm. you know? And because I feel like they've played the hand that they're dealt. And I don't think that Americans do that very well. We're always trying to swap out cards. And they have been dealt a hand. And that, to me, that's what life is. You know, it doesn't always work out the way you want it to. You've got to play the cards that you get. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Americans do that very well. And got a card up our sleeve or, you know, trying to get another card, where I feel like that's where that satisfaction and the joy comes from. It's like, okay, here's our cards. We're going to make the very best out of this hand that we can. And so for me, it, you know, I looked at them and I was just like, man, you know, like you said, it disturbs you, right? You're like, how can you be so joyful? But this is their life. And I think about, I probably overthink it, like, okay, do they know that things are different?
Yes.
Yeah. How much do they know? I figured they did. TV. Well, and here we come all the time, right. Groups and groups of people from the United States, you know, and
it would be nice to think, well, they don't know the difference. And so
right.
You're happy.
Right.
But I think that's a justification.
I agree. And so
from our perspective,
I agree. Cause then we
makes
can
us feel better.
Exactly. Yeah. Then I can feel fine going back to my home.
Like, and they don't know I live here. Like, that's all they know. So it's okay.
Yeah. But they were,
it's not true.
It's not
the internet is here.
Right.
TV has been here for maybe one TV for every six families, but
seen all the little kids with their smartphones, even it's probably like, used for a group of them, but I mean, they still have a smartphone in their hand.
That's something I've noticed this year.
Really?
First year.
Playing games. Then,
yeah. With kids walking around with a smartphone and moms. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cell phones have been around for years, but the smartphone, this year was like, wow, there's a lot of them around. Mm-hmm. Matthew, was this subject something that has it hit you at all in that respect, or you come from a different perspective because your mom and your brother have been talking about this. You've seen a lot of pictures and that, but sometimes it's different when you experience it for yourself.
Yeah. I've not struggled with this, but it's almost like, I don't feel like I feel as bad as I should in that aspect. Like, I feel like I should be sad or like notice more or be affected more by how these people live. I don't know if that's bad on me, but I'm not as much. I don't know if that, yeah, it's just like, it may be that because when I lived in China in third grade, like that was just more, I didn't really, because when I lived there, I didn't really think about it, but I probably noticed it. So maybe my subconscious is just, I know people live like this. And obviously my mom has taken pictures, both China and here. And I just see how people live, and I mean, maybe I should think about it more, but I don't as much. And I'm obviously here to help, and I want to help, and that's why I came for 2 weeks. But yeah, it doesn't affect me emotionally as much.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, yeah. I think it's because what we do, we're working with very specific people. So we're not here as a big group painting or doing some big project that we don't know what the end result would be.
Mm-hmm.
We know exactly what the end result is. Excuse me. Because after we build the stove, we light the fire. We see it work. We see the people's reaction to it. And chances are, right next door, across the room, we see what they were using before, which was essentially an indoor campfire.
Yeah.
And the charred walls and the smoky smells. So we leave there making that direct connection rather than just coming into a town, doing some big project and blowing out. So
that's a great observation, Dave. The early years that we worked with this mission, we worked at institutions. We worked at a boys' home. We worked at a school. And we were constantly trying to do some home visits, like to see, because outside of the complex walls, you don't know what people's lives are really like. I remember giving the first tours up to Aguacate, let's take a tour into the village. It was because we weren't working in the village. We were working in this compound with a gate and a razor wire fence around it. And we just didn't leave. And so it was very difficult to know what is a normal life like here in this town.
Well, that reminds me of an interesting story that ties in with that, because today on the way back, I was talking with Elba, and I installed a stove in her house 8 years ago.
One of our volunteers who comes with us.
Right.
Who's on my team.
Yeah.
Part of your team. 8 years ago, and she showed me a picture of it, and it's still working. Wow. So for 8 years, she's been, you know, she's still as thankful today as she was the day that I remember we installed that stove. Mm-hmm. And so these things have long-term ramifications, and especially in her life, because she chose at that time to give back because of what she'd been given. She's been a strong part of this mission.
Probably. Yeah, she's
amazing.
I know there are others like her that I... And this is something, too, going kind of back to that other topic about what's missing in the United States. Like, she receives that and is like, oh, man, I've got to make sure other people get this, too, right? I mean, she's a volunteer. And this is my fourth year, so this is my fourth stove crew, and I've had every crew I've loved and always hope I'll get the same crew. I know I won't, but, you know, so you never know what you're going to get. And so being with Elba, I've never heard anybody explain how to take care of that stove better than Elba. Mm-hmm. I mean, it takes a good 5 minutes, right, of us there about the cleaning, like so thorough on the cleaning.
When normally it would take 10 minutes, she explains it in five or less. Like,
No. Mm-hmm. Opposite. Oh, usually it's like, here, clean it with oil and there you go. You know, and a few more than that, but she takes a long time and about the wood and don't burn plastic in here and ropa and none of that. And that's only wood. And I mean, she had the gentleman today, she was explaining something to him and told him, gave him our silicone pack so he could go get some more in Antigua. So he could get exactly that it was fine, but
This is the high temperature silicone. We seal the stovepipe onto the roof.
So she just goes above and beyond. Like, you can tell. Like, today the man of the house was on the roof fixing something that you'll see it in the pictures. Mm-hmm. And we can put that on the website, right? There's a picture of this gentleman moving a roof so that this, and I mean, that stove was going in. Mm-hmm. Elba made sure of it. And I think that, to me, that's something that's missing. You know, in the United States, we go, oh, I got mine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now you can go try and find yours. You know, I mean, I'm not saying everybody's like that, but it just seems to me that that's a big difference. It's like what you said. It's like, you know, they're so grateful and they want other people to have the same.
Yeah. They are forces of nature, because there are several of the group we work with who are Guatemalans. But they really take the lead.
Yeah, there's so many of them.
And again, that gives us that really direct connection, because they're here. Mm-hmm. They know these people personally, mm-hmm. and they know what needs to be done. And it really helps us. And we're just, I call us unskilled labor. But, you know, we're there to kind of facilitate their goals. And you see, and it's all very tangible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the law of reciprocity, you receive something, you feel the desire to give back, is it's a common human trait. The difference here is that someone like Elba, the past 2 years, I'm not sure this year as well, but for the past 2 years, she's literally quit her job in order to come volunteer with us for the 3, 4, or 5 weeks that we needed her. Because there's nobody who would give you that much vacation. Nobody in the U.S. is giving you that much vacation to do that, unless it's part of your contract, right? Mm-hmm. Unless it's something that's part of your compensation package. But for someone like Elba with a, I don't know if she has a sixth grade education, it may be less than that, who works three jobs to keep her kids in school and in a better school. One's in a private school, to give her kids a better opportunity. Literally quits her job every year, past 2 years, I think this year too, so she can give back to us. So how many, law of reciprocity, I get something, I want to give something back. Would you quit your job to give something back? How many would do that? Very, very rare. Well, we just have a couple minutes left, and I want to give you an opportunity to share any final thoughts that you may have, or if there's someone back home maybe listening to this that you would like to thank for helping make this possible for you, or any other thoughts for others who may be considering a mission of this kind. Any final thoughts that any of you have?
Well, I mean, I would like to thank my mom for originally finding this through an organization at back home called Be Like Jesus, where Sean performed. My mom was like, I think I could do that. I think I could take a week out of my summer to go help people in Guatemala. And she did that over 7-8 years ago, because she skipped a couple of years in between. But and she's come back and taken such beautiful pictures that just really capture a lot of the essence here. And without her, I wouldn't be here. And because of her, she's brought my brother, his friend, my aunt, a whole other two families that she's brought from her church. So she's done a lot from showing even just our small church or our church how to what happens here. So yeah. Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Anne. Yeah. We love you.
Yeah, Anne, we miss you.
Can't wait to see you next week.
See you next week.
Well, not me.
And that is my story too, not with Anne.
Right.
But my daughter. At the same event 12 years ago, then that lead to coming 11 years ago. So Juliana felt compelled and interested. And then my wife and I did, her mom, her niece, another person from our church all came that particular year. And then it's just kind of rolled on after that. This year, I try to look at it different each year. So this year, I'm looking at it kind of simultaneously as if it were my first time, because it's kind of easy to just think of it as another year in a string of years. So I'm trying to look at the big picture and take in the sights a little bit more, not just take for granted, looking at volcanoes, the sights and sounds around the hotel. But I'm also looking at it as if it's my last time, not that it would be, but looking to strengthen the connections that I've made from last year and this year. Also, the new people that have come, because it's such a draw that we tend to come back. And so I'm already looking forward to next year. I don't know that I'll come, but it's just, it's become a family. And so I really appreciate that.
That's great.
I would thank Stuart. He's the pastor at the church that I attend and the church that partners, one of the other churches that partners with Sean. And just year after year, he's just continued the relationship. And I would have to thank my daughter as well, because she's the one that 4 years ago, she's the one that really, really, really wanted to go. I had been before on another mission trip years ago. And so I figured, I'll probably go back. But like you always say, I'm coming someday. And so finally, I mean, when your child wants to go, she was a preteen then, and now she's a teenager. When you're from the Silicon Valley, who has, a great life, wants to come and to serve in this way. I can't really say no to that. So, I really thank you for continuing that relationship and keeping that connection with Sean. I know you say sometimes people just kind of slowly fade into the black of night, and that hasn't happened. And that's the main thing. Like, if I could tell anybody who was like, should I come to this? It's just the relationships. I mean, you said we're like a family as the people who serve, but then as we serve along the people here, we have relationships with them. Mm-hmm. Ongoing. Like, you see, we see the same faces every year. And that makes this so much more amazing to me, is that we have that. And I just want to give a shout out to the hotel.
Yes.
Because I can't tell you, and I know you get dinged for this sometimes by other missionaries. When I open that door, when I come home, and it smells wonderfully because it's been clean and there's a bed and I can go shower, it makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Being able to be rested and to be fed amazing food. And it makes a huge difference to be able to come home to that and to be able to be full of vim and vigor the next day to go serve. So I appreciate the Hotel Candelaria very much and their staff, because it makes a big difference in why we come back. I know that I'm safe. I know that I'm going to be well rested. I'm going to be well fed. I'm going to be nourished spiritually. I mean, everything is taken care of so that we can go out and serve. And today, one more thing at VBS, I think I have another Sergio coming in my life, because a little 11-year-old boy, like, bonk. Right there, right next to me the whole day.
And clinging to you.
Yes, yes. And I looked over at Olivia, and she was just like, that's my daughter. She was like, again. Like, I have no idea why. I didn't see him yesterday. I was just there, just standing there. That makes it worthwhile to keep coming back, is to see those children and to even have I'm happy to have a relationship still with Sergio. That was 4 years ago, and with his whole family now. That's amazing. So
this is your sponsored child.
Yes. Well, I have two. Sponsored I have his family. Sister as well. Yeah. I sponsor his sister as well. And I know his mom and dad. I've got to meet them. And so that's everything. So
I would like to follow up on what Kim just said. So we are staying at Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala. I'll try to remember to put the link in the show notes. It's an exquisite hotel. What she was saying, you probably get dinged by other missionaries, because it's a gorgeous hotel. It's exquisite. The reason why we stay here is because this hotel's staff, the owner, the manager, they give us a 70% discount on their normal fee, because that's the way they can serve their community, their country, those that are less fortunate than themselves. And every year they have offered us this incredible discount, and they had been open less than a year when we first came. And ever since, you know, I keep telling Rodolfo, you know, is this the year that maybe we, and it's, they look at it as their ministry. So if you are ever in Guatemala, you're ever interested in taking a vacation to Guatemala or taking a mission trip to Guatemala, please support Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala. It's exquisite. And your dollars will be supporting incredible family and business that we would like to keep supporting for years to come. Any other final thoughts?
Last shout out as well. I just want to thank Valley Life Center folks who gathered, I don't know, 2,500 or how many hundreds of pounds of stuff in Santa Clara Christian School. And of course, the team that joins us each year, a group of people, 20 some this year, it makes a difference. I'd probably still come, but it's way more fun to spend a week with people from our church and do this together. So thanks to all of you guys if you listen to this.
And I have one last thing to say. So obviously my mom has come many times. My brother, she's like, oh, you both should come. And I always had like, oh, I have summer school this summer. I have a different summer camp this summer. I have something to do this summer. And this summer, I could have done things, but I was like, oh, this is a summer. And I watched, I think just out of the blue, I was on their website and I watched one of the videos where Sean's like, now is the time. And that really spoke to me. So I wanted to say, anyone listening to this podcast who's thinking like, oh, well, I had this thing this year. I had this thing this year. That summer that just, even if it's just 1 week during one of these times that opens up, you're like, oh, I have nothing that week. That might be God trying to tell you that now is the time to go on this mission. And it really is a wonderful decision. So, yeah.
Amen. Well, thank you all again for coming. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for coming for the first time, Matthew. Thank you to all of your supporters, those who have prayed for you, those who have supported you financially to make it possible for you to be here. We couldn't do this. We couldn't do what we do without these amazing missionaries sitting around this table. So thank you again for your service to our Lord, to his children here in Guatemala. And thanks for sharing your stories on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga, may God bless you. Vaya con Dios, go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.